Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode of our podcast. It's a real pleasure to be joined today by Professor Ian Cree from the International Agency for Research on Cancer, IARC, in Lyon, France. Professor Cree is head of the WHO tumor classification, so he's responsible for the entire WHO Blue Books series. He's an honorary professor of pathology at the Institute of Ophthalmology at the University College London and at the University of Coventry. Professor Cree has published over 270 papers and 9 books. And he's critical for all these new Blue Book series in the fifth edition that many people are working on. He's with us today on behalf of a group of distinguished international co-authors to discuss the recent open access publication in Modern Pathology. So it's an open access, so all the audience can reach and read it for free. And the publication, who would have believed, it's on counting mitoses. Thank you, Ian, for accepting my invitation.
Thank you very much, George. It's a pleasure to be here. And thank you very much, too, for allowing us to publish this paper in Modern Pathology. It's not something I thought I'd be doing at the end of my career, having done it at the beginning of my career. But for some reason, in certain sectors of pathology, the message didn't get through. And the message is very simple. And it is that if you're counting mitoses, you need to do it per millimeter squared because high power fields vary in size. And they vary quite significantly. The area of variation is about, well, it's been calculated as up to 6 times. That was a fairly old paper, but it's certainly significant. And it may be significant to patients on occasion. So it's worth getting it right.
So let me get this right. So you're saying the variation in what we different, you know, we all grew up counting mitosis per high power field, and you seem to be, you and the group, to be on a crusade for us to change that, certainly in the Blue Books, which is, after reading this paper, I fully understand. Now, but you're saying 6-time variations, so I could be calling a size high power field, and my colleague could different microscope. So why is that? Why so
much? Well, microscopes differ. The manufacturers use different objectives, different eyepieces, and depending on the age of your microscope, I'm afraid, George, as well as the age of the pathology, it's actually something that can vary. So it's been the case for many years. I mean, this is not new. Whitehead and Ellis, I think, did the first one in 1981.
I saw that.
Which is before I qualified as a doctor. So it's pretty old. And certainly when I was growing up in Scotland, I had to read my Robert Burns, and I knew that facts were chills at dinner wing, it cannot be disputed. So you better count things, because otherwise you didn't know very much about them. And counting things was something that pathologists at that time did a lot. We did a lot of image analysis, very straightforward stuff and very banal by today's automated systems. But, you know, with the move to digital pathology as well, the high power fields on digital pathology systems vary in area quite significantly, and they're not round. So
that's a point that we don't pay attention to, that when you're talking about a scanned image, it's a rectangle, and where the high power field we all look at is a circle. And I must say, I learned that even if you're talking a 40x400, and if you use a 10 objective, and between different models, between the lens, that field does vary too. So it's not just a matter of what X you're on, what kind of lens you're using, correct?
No, it's not. It's not. It's this is four at 400 times the field size varies by up to six times. Wow. I did a little study of my own when I was at Moorfields, not on mitoses. We were counting vessels. Wow. We were doing microvessel counts in uveal melanoma. And we discovered that the microscopes in the department, in that small department, and we didn't have that many microscopes, varied by a factor of four. So it was a factor of four in area. And that meant that you called something, you know, it was somewhere between 4 and 16 mitoses per millimeter squared if it was somewhere in the middle, you know. So it was an enormous amount of enormous difference. And it can make a difference to grade. It can certainly make a difference to diagnosis on occasion. The irony is that some of the things where we still seem to have a problem in counting per high power field rather than per millimeter squared. Many people have twitched. I mean, the melanoma field, the CNS, and breast, they all switched some time ago. And even in some of the blue books, there's been a table of all the different sizes of high power field for a given size of area of the high power field, and it's something that's totally passed a few people by. I think, I mean, one of the problems is, of course, that if it's been done for high power field and been found to be prognostic, that's valid for that study, but it isn't valid if you then apply it to something else, a different microscope. Absolutely. So going backwards is actually quite tricky.
True, and like you said, so it's not only used at times as prognostic, but time really deciding something is malignant versus benign, and with such variations, of course, we never depend on just one factor, but this could be what tips you over and you're really counting the wrong thing. So the recommendation, if we were to continue, we'll come to the digital in a second, but the recommendation is to count per standard international units. Can you share with us what?
Yes, the standardized international unit is the meter, or the obviously parts of meters, and millimeter squared seems to be the one that everybody has used in this setting over the last four decades, and it's certainly stood the test of time. It seems to work. Of course, you do have some other alternatives. The mitotic count is what we don't normally deal with in pathology, because that's what you can do on a slide most easily. Mm-hmm. You can do a mitotic count index, but then you have to count all the cells in which you're counting the mitoses as well. So you'll be counting thousands of cells. That's a job for artificial intelligence if I ever found one. And certainly there are good artificial intelligence systems that will give you a mitotic index, rather like a Ki-67 index. But that is a percentage of the cells that are in mitosis at any one time. And then the alternative to that is the mitotic rate. But to do that, you've actually got to label the cells that are in mitosis and follow them in time, because it's a time measurement. So when pathologists talk about mitotic rate and mitotic index, they don't usually mean that. They usually mean mitotic count. And again, that's something we need to be just probably a little tighter on in publications, particularly.
That's absolutely true. You know, so rate versus index versus count, and here we're focusing on count. Really, what and as many of the audience know, this affects a lot of fields, especially in GYN, smooth muscle, extrauterine smooth muscle, and soft tissue, other soft tissue lesions. So it's good for us to standardize. But another issue that I wanted to remind. So it's not just saying what is the area, surface area that I'm measuring in or counting my mitosis. You're in the paper, you emphasize, and rightly so, that we need to say how we're doing that. Are we doing hotspot versus, because that makes a huge difference.
Yes, it does. And whether you're doing hotspot counting, which is the standard within, for instance, breast cancer grading, or whether you're doing random counting, can make quite a considerable difference. I think most mitotic counts are now on hotspots. Mm-hmm. But then again, how you define your hotspot and how you count around that hotspot, particularly with, you're supposed to use contiguous fields, but of course, if they're round, you're going to miss the bits between the round, you know, at the edges of the circle. So, which you may not on a digital system, which is rectangular. So there are some differences there as well, which really haven't been looked at and probably not desperately significant. But it is a question of finding, you know, in small biopsies, of course, enough to count in the first place. So I think there are issues, and it's important to say what you've done. That's true of any paper, of course, but it certainly is true in this as it is in anything else, that saying what you've done and why you've done it is the important thing.
Do it consistently. So I think the answer is going to be, sounds like digital and AI. Can you share with us your view on that and what's?
Well, I've certainly been involved in some AI mitotic counting peripherally, and it's recognizing mitoses down a microscope is as difficult for an AI system as it is for a human being. And we do actually vary in that. So pathologists vary a bit in how they recognize mitoses and what they call the mitosis and what they don't. AI systems have similar problems, but they've quantified the problem. And the modern systems are actually as good as the pathologists on that. So depending a bit on tissue, it's not been done on every tissue or every tumor type, but it's certainly... some of the published results are looking very good. And there is actually a competition, which some of you may not know about, which is a competition between AI teams to get the best mitotic counts. It was run at one point, it was run by one of the groups I was working with in the UK. And it's really quite exciting to see how good the AI systems are now at recognizing these things.
You guys seem to be bored in Britain competing with AI counting mitoses. I guess during COVID, we all had to find something to do. So
something like that, yes.
No, all jokes aside, it's extremely important issue. And this is why I love this publication. And by the way, we didn't allow, we were honored to publish it. I mean, the list of international people on authors on it include Bill Travis, Pui Hung Tan, and Dr. Richard Scholier, who was our guest a couple of episodes ago. So clearly you guys know what you're talking about, and this is really an important issue. But looking, digging deep in the paper, you know, we don't think about that is when we're counting in a high power field, and now we're going to do it in square millimeters. It really matters, back to your index issue, how big the cells are. And because you're counting lesser cells, do you have stroma, how much stroma? And you mentioned the inter-observer variability. So yes. Hopefully coupled with IHC, AI can bypass all these issues and start giving us an index or a count that is consistent.
Yes, I think that within particular tumor types, it's probably okay. It's not 100% and never will be. So there is going to be some variation, whatever you do. And that I think we have to accept. But you're right. Using some of the phosphohistone, for instance, stains, you can get reasonable index data. And, you know, we've already mentioned AI, which is another way of doing the same thing, really. And then again, you've got Ki-67. So Ki-67 is another option for looking at proliferation, because that's really what we're after. We're after a measure of proliferation. How fast is this tumor growing? And then there are also issues of fixation, which affect mitotic counts just as they do Ki-67. So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And you do, the more you get into this, the more complicated you realize it actually is.
Right. Like ischemia time and all that. So it's never going to be a perfect science, but at least if we all stick to square millimeters and indicating how we did it and start using it exactly like the study that showed the significant or lack of, we will be better off. You mentioned in the paper about whole slide imaging, even averaging like in an entire tumor. Is that, you think that could be of a value on different slides and scanning?
It's certainly something that the AI systems can do. I'm not sure that most of us as pathologists would be willing to do it. It's a little bit more beyond our attention span, isn't it? But it's certainly something that the AI systems don't worry about. So yes, you can do it on whole slide images, and that's exactly what the AI systems do. And they'll even produce a map for you of where the mitoses are, and you can see the hotspots. There's some very nice papers out there on that sort of thing. I mean, I think it is probably time as well. I mean, the other thing to say is that if it's an older paper that's used high power fields, and perhaps the treatment's changed as well, then there may be two reasons to redo the study. Because if the treatment's changed and you're using it for prognosis, for instance, then it's not as relevant today as it was when it was done earlier with high power fields. So there is actually a reason to go back and do some of these again, quite apart from the high power field millimeter squared issue.
Which will be great to grow some new investigators' scholarly activity and have great new articles. And which you touch upon also, and something that we plan on adopting, that journals and clearly the FIFS theories, I realize you insist that that's the only acceptable way of mentioning mitotic counts is per square millimeters. So maybe in journals also we have to move to that and force the writers, the authors to adopt that method.
Yes, I think it some already have and did quite a while ago, actually. Some have been slower to adopt it. There's been a lot of variation in how well this has been adopted across the world for different things, and many of those who are authors on the paper have published papers saying there's a problem and dealt with it in their own fields. And it's really a case of getting the message across to everyone that this needs to be done. It's not that difficult to do. If you want to know what size your high power field is, buying a micrometer slide is a matter of a few dollars, pounds, or euros, and you know they're widely available. So it's an easy thing to do, and it makes a difference in that you can be certain that you're seeing the same thing that your colleague down the corridor is seeing on his microscope.
And you add them up to get to your square millimeter.
That's right.
And go from there.
Now what we've done in the fifth edition is we've actually, where the tradition has been high power fields, and where we can find the size of the high power field, because many people didn't define them in the publications, but where they have been defined, we've given the count per millimeter squared, and then in brackets we've given what that would be for a high power field of a given size, a fairly normal size, because microscopes, as I say, vary. So we've done that in the fifth edition. It's certainly very feasible to do that within publications if it matters, but certainly giving the count per millimeter squared should be something I think that it's required in all publications now.
Well, it's been a very interesting conversation and enlightening. And thank you very much for accepting to be our guest today, and look forward to future podcasts and future manuscripts from you and your stellar groups. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath Chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.